Everyone,
各位早上好。
As usual, it's a very great privilege to be here.
这是就像往常一样，是我的特权，今天在这里跟大家一起来分享。
Let me ask a question.
让我来问大家一个问题。
Have you ever stopped to wonder how our Bible was put together?
你有没有停下来想过我们的圣经这个是怎么构成的？
We have a lot of different books, right?
我们圣经里头有很多不同的书卷。
All together, there are 66 different books put together in our one big book we call the Bible.
这个整个加起来有六十卷书来构成了我们今天所讲的这本圣经。
And these 66 books were written by approximately 40 different authors.
这个六十六卷书是由大概四十个。作者写的。
There's actually a couple of the books we don't really know who wrote them.
其中大概有两卷是我们不是特别清楚到底作者是谁。
Although that doesn't stop people from guessing throughout all of history.
虽然是这样，但是从历史上一直有人在猜测这两卷书到底是谁写的。
And all these authors come from really different backgrounds.
而这些作者他们个人的背景都有时候是非常的不一样。
And the Bible itself, it took over 1,500 years for all of it to be written throughout different history and be put together.
而整本圣经这个书写的跨度大概有1500年，在1500年之间不同的历史时代，最后写出来这卷圣经。
And interestingly, the Bible was written in a lot of different literary genres.
这个还有很有意思的是，这个圣经的六十卷书里头有从文学类别上来说有不同的种类。
So you have things like historical narrative.
其中有历史书。
Part of the Bible is written kind of in a legal contract.
有的书是讲这个法律或者是合同方面的。
We have prophetic and wisdom literature.
还有先知书，还有智慧书。
Some of it is written in poetry.
有的是诗歌。
And then in the Gospels is a different kind of literature.
然后是有福音书。
We've been studying in Ephesians, which is written as a letter.
然后是书信，就像我们正在研读的这个以弗所书一样。
And then a few different parts of the Bible, but mostly Revelation is written in an apocalyptic form of literature.
然后在圣经里有几卷书里写到特别是在启示录里头是讲的末世的时代。
If we're honest with ourselves, some of these different genres are a little bit easier to read than others.
其实我们这个实事求是的说，有些书卷的类别对我们来说是比较容易理解，但有些书卷的类别不是那么容易理解。
But interestingly, the parts that are easier for me may not be the part that is easier for you.
有意思是对我来说容易理解的。不见得对你来说是容易理解的。
And while God was kind of prompting the authors to write all of these different parts of the Bible, He used their own skills and creativity to shape how those things were written.
虽然是神在提示那些作者来写这些圣经的书卷，但是神也用他们个人的经历、个人的才能，让他们来给特定的观众来讲话。
And it's through all of these different styles and personalities that we get to connect with different parts of the Bible according to our own needs.
通过作者的不同的个人特性、个人品格，我们也从这些不同的圣经书卷里头来得到我们自己个人问题的答案和运用。
A good example of this is the four different Gospels that we have.
一个很好的例子就是四卷福音书。
Four different Gospels written by four different authors.
这个四卷福音书有四个不同的作者写的。
But also written to four different recipients.
而这个同时这个四卷书也是写给不同的对象。
If you think about it, we have Matthew, who was a tax collector writing to the Jews.
大家可以想这个马太他是个税吏，他写书的对象是犹太人。
We have Mark, who would become a missionary, who traveled with Peter and wrote the very first gospel.
马可他是和彼得一起是一个传道士，他写了最早的一卷福音书，马可福音。
Luke was both a doctor and a historian, and he wrote his gospel as part of a, as one part of a two-part history of Luke and Acts.
路加他又是个传道士，他同时又是一个历史学家，他写了路加福音实际上是两卷历史书中间的第一卷，另外一卷是使徒行传。
And the Gospel of John was written by a fisherman, to a general audience, and it had a lot of different material than the first three Gospels.
约翰福音，约翰是一个渔夫，他写的这个福音书的内容和其他的福音书的内容不一样，很多有不一样的地方。他的这个观众啊，他的写书的对象是一个比较给所有的人。
But 1 Timothy chapter 3 says something really interesting about all of this scripture.
提摩太前书讲了这么一句话，就是讲了这个不同的这个圣经书卷。
First off, he says that all of it is inspired by God.
首先他说所有的圣经都是神所默示的。
So, but he also says that all of it is profitable for our living.
然后另外他也说了是他都是对我们有益的。
So the parts that come really easy to us, we can understand that, but even the parts that don't come easy to us are still helpful for us.
所以有的书卷我们觉得很容易理解，对我们是有用的，但是就是那些我们不是非常容易理解，其实这些书卷对我们同样是有用的，有益的。
But our passage today is going to say something interesting about all of this knowledge about God.
今天的经文里头会讲到一个非常特别的一个话题，这个话题是有关这些圣经书卷里头告诉我们的知识。
Paul is going to talk to us today about that knowledge, the knowledge that we gain about God is actually only part of the equation.
保罗在这段经文里头说，我们从圣经里所了解的有关神的知识，只是一个等式的一个部分。
Because the Christian life isn't just based on knowledge about God, but it's about knowing God.
因为我们基督徒的这个经历不仅仅是知道有关神的知识，而是一个不断的认识神的这个过程。
Our relationship with God is just that. It should be very relational.
我们和神的关系就是这个样子的，是必须是关系性的。
So as we continue working through Ephesians this morning, let me remind us kind of where we are.
在我们今天继续在一起来分享以弗所书这卷书的时候，让我先提醒一下我们走过来的那个路程。
Paul has been helping us understand this relationship between the Gentiles.And the Jews, and how now we have equal access before God.
保罗在提醒我们，犹太人和外邦人，怎么样在耶稣里头有同样的地位。
And as we end up, finishing this morning, chapter 3, we're asking this question, what is God's desire for me or for my life?
所以我们在今天讲到以弗所书第三章结尾的时候，我们在讲这么一个问题，就是保罗希望，保罗在告诉我们，神希望我们是什么样子的。
So it's interesting that as Paul writes all of these letters, there actually is a pretty strict structure that he follows almost every time he writes.
非常有意思的是，保罗写这些书信的时候，他基本上是遵循一个固定的格式。
But before we get to that part of it, I want to say a few things about the way Paul writes that might surprise you coming from a pastor.
在讲具体结构的时候，我要跟大家说几句，这个保罗是怎么写的，我跟大家讲，这个可能会大家觉得会比较吃惊。
So out of all the literary genres we find in the Bible, I have to confess, the epistles are not my favorite.
我必须跟大家承认，在圣经的各种文学类别的这个书卷里头，其实书信不是我最喜欢的。
I understand their purpose, but sometimes they make me a little confused.
我知道他们的目的，但是有时候读起来有一定的困惑。
I really like the historical narratives because I like learning from stories.
其实我更喜欢的是历史书，因为我喜欢从故事里头来学习。
The second thing I want to say is that Paul is not always very easy to understand.
另外一点我要跟大家说的是，保罗的书信并不是一直非常容易理解，好理解。
One really funny part of scripture is in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, even he confesses, I don't always understand what Paul is saying.
有一个非常有意思的时候是在彼得后书，彼得自己说，其实我也不是总是能够理解保罗说的什么意思，保罗的话不是那么容易理解。
When we look at the way that Paul writes, we can realize that he uses a lot of run-on sentences.
我们看保罗写的书信的时候，我们经常会看到他喜欢用这个很长的那个排比的句子。
And he starts out in a subject and then pauses to make a completely different point. And it's hard to know when he's coming back to his original thoughts.
然后他有时候写的时候在讲一个主要点的时候突然会停下来，然后在讲另外一个方面，你有时候不知道他什么时候才会回到他原来所讲的那个点上。
Even in this short letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses 8 very long sentences.
就是在以弗所书里头，保罗用了八个非常非常长的句子。
These are some of the longest sentences in the entire New Testament.
这些句子是在整个新约圣经里头最长最长的句子。
But also interestingly, Paul is sometimes writing and he seems overwhelmed by his own subject and then breaks into worship.
还有一个特别的地方，有时候好像这个保罗他是专心致志的在讲他想要讲的那个重要的话题，然后突然他就开始敬拜赞美的。
And I can really appreciate that about the way that he writes.
其实我还是非常能够理解为什么他要这样子写。
So let's look at the way that Paul is kind of conforming to a structure.
让我们来看保罗是怎么样来遵守他的书信的书写的结构的。
When Paul is writing letters, he uses a very standardized form of Greek letters.
保罗写书信的时候，他基本上是遵循那个最基本的正规的犹太书信的格式。
Almost every time he starts out by naming the author and naming the recipient.
几乎所有的书信他一开始就是讲明作者是谁，就是他自己，然后讲明那个受书者是谁。
He usually includes a string of values like faith or peace or hope or love that serve as a blessing to the recipients.
他常常在里面要列举一些价值的东西，比如说是平安、喜乐、信望、爱等等，也作为一种这个祝福。
Oftentimes in his letters, he reminds his recipients that he's been praying for them.
在他的书信里头，他经常提醒受书者他在为他们祷告。
And then oftentimes as he's closing the letter, he likes to say hello to other people who might be in the audience or among the recipients.
然后他常常在这个书信的结尾的时候又跟这个层面更广的那些人来问安。
Another part of how he structures his letters has to do with the content.
另外一个方面他的书写结构的话呢是跟具体内容有关。
In most of Paul's letters, he spends half of the time talking about theology and half of the time talking about application.
对他，他绝大部分他的书信中间大概花一半的章节是在讲神学，另外一半的章节是在讲运用。
There's a couple of letters he writes, like Romans and 1 Corinthians, that doesn't follow that structure at all.
有一两卷书，比如说是罗马书和
Romans and 1 Corinthians.
哥林多前书他没有按照这个格局，他不是说一半一半。
But in Ephesians, it's right down the middle. The first three are talking about theology, and the last three chapters are talking about application.
今天讲的以弗所书正好一半对一半，前三章讲的是神学，后三章讲的是应用。
And this morning, we're talking about the very last section of the theological part.
那我们今天早上要跟大家分享的是 第三章的最后，就是前面一部分的最后，神学的最后一部分。
And it's at that point that Paul breaks out in worship and gives us one of the more famous benedictions that he uses.
就是在这个地方，保罗从他讲的神学的话题离开了，然后来开始讲祝福。这段经文是圣经里头最美的祝福段落中间的一个。
Because Paul is about to head into application, he takes one more look back at all the things that he's communicated so far.
因为他保罗马上要进到这卷书的后半部分，就是要讲应用。然后就在这个时候，他停下来看看他前面所讲的所有的神学的这些内容。
I think that he's concerned that all of this talk about the history between the Jews and the Gentiles can just seem like information.
他可能有一个担心，就是他所讲的有关犹太人和外邦人这些历史的这些东西，对读者来说好像只是提供一种信息。
But he wanted them to understand that all of the things that he had been talking about are setting the stage to help people move towards spiritual maturity and worship.
但是他想要做的是提醒这些人，提醒读者，就是他所说的这些话是为了为属灵的成熟打下个基础做准备。
So Paul opens this section of scripture by looking backwards.
所以这段经文，保罗在讲这段经文的时候，首先是让我们往前看。
And he says, quote unquote, for this reason.
所以这个圣经上这个说是他用的这个词，中文翻成因此。
So then we have to go tracking back to what it is that Paul is referring to.
他讲那个因此，我们就想要看看他讲因此到底指的是什么，往前看。
It seems that it can't just be the content of what already happened in chapter 3, but that he's looking back even further.
一般来说，他说的因此不仅仅是在讲第三章前面那些经文里头，可能是在更前面。
So Paul is going back to reemphasize something that he was talking about in chapter 2.
非常可能是保罗是在重新来强调他在第二章所讲的内容。
And this is the introduction of the mystery of what God has done between the Jews and the Gentiles.
而在第二章他是讲了就是这个奥秘有关犹太人和外邦人能够同样得到福音的这个奥秘。
But Paul seems to be overcome by the things that he's writing and he breaks into worship.
虽然好像这个保罗是对他所写的内容非常非常的这个专注，但是突然他好像改变了话题，就开始来写的这个敬拜的话语。
There are three things that I think that are driving Paul to worship as he completes this letter to the Ephesians.
那我想他这个突然转向敬拜这个动机有三个方面。
And the first is this, says that there is an incredible blessing of God's grace that allows us to receive His free gift of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus.
第一个动机就是这个通过耶稣我们得到罪的赦免和得到救恩这个白白的得到这个是一个不可思议的神的恩典。
The second is this incredible mystery of God unifying the Jews and the Gentiles into one faith, one church, that both have access to God.
第二点就是这个非常不可思议的这个奥秘，就是犹太人和外邦人能够一起被联合起来在一个信仰一个 连接在一个教会里头，然后同样能够来到神的面前。
And the third thing is this incredible mercy of God using Paul, who is the Jew of all Jews, to reach out to the Gentile people.
第三个原因就是神的这个难以测度的这个怜悯，让保罗他是犹太人中间的犹太人，让他来把福音传给外邦人。
We need to remember that Paul's not just teaching a class here.
我们必须要知道保罗并不是在讲课。
Paul is telling a story of redemption.
保罗在跟我们讲的是一个 救赎的故事。
Let's think a little bit about who Paul is.
首先我们来想想保罗，保罗到底是什么样的一个人？
Paul was a very zealous Jew who held to every part of scripture and Jewish tradition.
保罗是一个非常热心的犹太人，他对这个犹太的传统和摩西律法是非常非常的认真。
He knew the scripture as well as anyone.
他其实他对旧约圣经的熟悉程度是不比任何人差，可能比所有的人都好。
But in all of his knowledge, he too had missed the mystery of what God was going to do among the nations.
虽然他有这么好的知识，但是他没有看到神的那个奥秘，就是有关犹太人和外邦人。
And as we've talked about in times before, the change wasn't just for the Gentiles, but it was also in how the Jewish peoplebegan to worship God.
就像我们前面所讲的，这个突然那个变化，这不仅仅是对犹太人，这不仅仅是对外邦人的一个变化，其实也是对犹太人的一个变化。
It was a really big shift in their worldview.
这是实际上是一个非常非常大的一个世界观的改变。
And I bet that it led some people to bitterness, no longer being treated uniquely as just God's people.
我想肯定有人就是因为这个世界观的改变，他可能带来了一些苦读。为什么呢？因为他们发现自己不再是神的选民，是唯一的能够得到神的祝福的那个种类。
But it led others to blessing as they knew that they had equal access before God.
但是另外一些人觉得这是一个神的祝福，因为他们同样能够受到神的祝福。
So as I was writing this sermon,A little bit like Paul, I stopped my preparation to consider my own heart.
所以就像保罗在写的时候突然转了一个话题，我在书写这个今天的那个讲到了讲章的时候，我也停下来想了一下我自己。
And I began to ask myself, what is my own response to my own salvation?
我问自己一个问题，我对我自己得救，我是什么样的一个回应？
I confess that even though I know I was given something that I don't deserve, I don't often respond to it the way that Paul responded to his.
虽然我知道我得到了我其实不配得到的救恩，但是我的回应并不是一直像保罗的回应一样。
Sometimes I let my own story of salvation just becomeSomething to talk about, something that doesn't seem so incredibly gracious.
有时候我把我自己得救的那个故事就把它看成一个比较平常的故事，也没有觉得它这是何等何等大的这个恩典。
It's been 40 years since I've come to know Christ.
其实我认识主耶稣，接受主耶稣已经有40年的时间。
Since I understood for the first time what Christ did for me.
从我第一次知道耶稣为我做了什么，到现在已经40年。
And while sometimes I am still overwhelmed with the thought of Jesus calling me by name and bringing me back into a relationship with him, sometimes I just view it as a normal part of my day.
虽然有时候我特别特别的感动，因为我非常的清楚耶稣叫了我的名字来呼召我，让我回到和他的关系之中。但是更多的时候我觉得还是把这个事情作为一件比较平常的事情。
But Paul, while writing this letter from prison, is moved to worship.
但是保罗，想想保罗，他在写这篇文章的时候，在监狱里头，他突然把这个话题转到敬拜上面。
Even though Paul is sitting in prison and in the threat of death, he's not focused on himself other thanThe fact that he's privileged to kneel before the Father in worship.
他保罗虽然自己在监狱里头一个非常好的境况，甚至有生命的危险，但是他想的不是他自己，他想到的是有这个特权能够跪拜在神的面前来敬拜。
And while chained to a Roman Gentile guard, this Jewish persecutor turned preacher is now giving thanks.That this guard has the same access to God that he does.
虽然保罗他是跟他的看守他的外邦人罗马那个兵丁是链条是拴在一起的， 但是就是个保罗，他原来是迫害基督徒，后来成为传福音的，人，他是在向神感恩，感恩的是那个罗马兵丁，看守他的罗马兵丁跟他一样能够得到神的救恩。
And so even there under house arrest, side by side, both can experience freedom.
虽然保罗是是在这个，虽然他们是在是在软禁在一起，他们同样，他和那个卫兵同样有这个自由，能够经历神。
In some ways, living today, it seems easy to forget that the story of God's people started with all people.
有时候我们今天常常忘了，其实神的故事一开始是有关所有的神的子民。
Think back to the early chapters of Genesis.
我们可以回想最早创世纪的章节。
God continues to communicate with all of creation.
在最早的创世纪里头，神和所有他的子民有交通。
But throughout the ages, he continued to come back to choose out of all of the disobedience someone who looked more righteous.
但是逐渐的在这个过程中间，他从那些不顺服的人中间来选一些人为了他的为选一些人来完成他的旨意。
Out of Adam's kids, he chose Abel over Cain, but then he chooses Seth once Abel is killed.
在亚当的儿子亚伯和该隐两人中间，他选择了亚伯。亚伯被杀了以后呢，他又选择了撒特。
Out of long lists of people, he finally chooses Noah because Noah is more righteous than those who that are around him.
在一代一代人中间，他选择了挪亚，因为挪亚是一个义人。
And in that last moment at the Tower of Babel, with all the peoples on the earth who have gathered together.God is still trying to address all of them.
还有后面讲到这个巴比塔的时候，地上的万民都是在一起，神还是想跟所有人一起来交通。
It's not till we get to chapter 12 where God finally chooses Abram to grow his family into a people, and then from a people into a nation.
一直到创世纪十二章的时候，神拣选了亚伯兰，让他从一个家庭变成一个大族，一个民族，最后一个国家。
And then we fast forward 1,500 years into the future.
然后我们快进1500年到现在以弗所书的时代。
And God is offering the same salvation once again to all of his people.
神再一次把他的救恩给所有的人，所有的民族，万民。
Both the Jews and the Gentiles alike.
不管是犹太人还是外邦人。
Paul writes, he says that, that he does this, that God does this according to the riches of his glory.
保罗说，这神做这个事是他根据他的丰富的荣耀。
And as is often the case with many languages, the verse sounds much better in Greek.
就像不管你把它翻成什么样的这个这个语言，其实这一节圣经在希腊语里头读出来最美。
Talks about this great accumulation of his glory, or is the immenseness of his character.
他在这节圣经里头讲了这个他的这个丰盛，他这个荣耀堆积起来，这个非常非常的丰盛。
Because of the fullness of who God is and the fullness of what God wants to do.He is able to grant to us this beautiful gift of salvation.
因为他的丰盛，因为他想所做的那一切，他把救恩这个礼物来给我们所有的人。
So this picture of this person of immense character and of incredible wealth is willing to scholarship us into faith.So that we may know him.
就是讲到这个人，他有完美的品格，然后有用不完的那个财富，但是他愿意把它给我们，让我们能够享受这个救恩。
And because of that, Paul spends the rest of this section talking about six different desires that God has for us
to grow in our relationship with him.
因为这个原因，所以保罗开始讲六个希望，让我们希望，希望我们能够得到的这个六个方面，希望我们能够在和神的关系里头能够成长，我们能够得到这六样东西。
The first thing that God desires for us is that we would be strengthened with his power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being.
第一个方面，他是让我们能够通过圣灵借着他的能力，让我们心里的力量得到刚强。
Paul reminds us that the Spirit-filled life is one of the most essential and sometimes one of the most forgotten facets of our Christian life.
保罗提醒我们，属灵生活是我们基督徒生活最基本的一个方面，但是也常常是我们会把它忘掉的一个方面。
We all want our Christian lives to work, but oftentimes we end up frustrated because we continue to try to do it in our own strength.
我们常常希望自己能够活出我们的信仰，但是我们常常有一种挫折感，因为我们想做的是根据我们自己想做的去做。
And when we ignore the internal empowerment that is offered through the submission to the Holy Spirit, we just end up in frustration.
当我们忘掉了神通过圣灵给我们内心的这个力量，而靠我们自己去做的时候，我们最后的结果就是失败和挫折。
But Paul is reminding us that we can be strengthened with God's power.
但是保罗在这里提醒大家，我们能够因着神的力量，我们得到坚固，内心得到坚固，心里的力量得到坚固。
Now, it's not like the Marvel movies like we talked last time. It's not an outward strength to be able to save the world.
这个不像是我上次讲的 Marvel, 这个电影公司的那些电影里头有一些英雄剧，它有这个外在的非常大的力量来拯救世界。
But it's focused on the inner person, the very inner person that God has created us to be in our heart and in our mind.
这个重点是我们内心的力量，是我们的心思和意念。
Being filled with the Spirit is more than just having the right words at the right time.
被圣灵充满，是远远超过了就是在什么样的场合说什么样的话。
It's actually having the empowerment to become all that we were created to be as people.
被圣灵充满就是我们有得到这个力量，让我们能够成为神创造我们的时候想让我们成为的那个样子。
And to serve the Lord in the ways that God has designed us to serve.
让我们能够来服侍神，按照神所希望的那样让我们去服侍他。
Now just to be theologically clear, we are filled with the Spirit at the moment of our salvation.
我要神学观点要跟大家讲清楚，我们在得救的时候圣灵就充满了我们。
But allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to fill us and have control of our lives gives us the ability to live a surrendered life.
但是让我们一直被圣灵充满，让圣灵来掌管我们自己，是让我们能够过一个被神喜悦的属灵生活的一个要点。
And the Spirit has many roles in our life.
Could you repeat?
The Holy Spirit has many different roles in our life.
圣灵在我们的生命，在我们的生命中间有不同的作用。
He can speak to us and help us to understand what God is saying through His Word.
他可以跟我们说话，让我们帮助我们了解神的话语的意思。
He can help us to feel the conviction of the sin when we do wrong things.
他会提醒我们，当我们做错的时候，让我们知道我们是在罪中间。
He can help us to have the courage to speak out when we're afraid to share the gospel.
他给我们胆量，当我们害怕的时候，他给我们的胆量和勇气，让我们来讲福音。
And to have the wisdom to know how to apply God's word in our life.
他会给我们智慧，让我们知道怎么样来应用神的话，在我们的生命中间，生活中间。
As a daily practice for me, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
作为一个每天的操练，我是想要每天让圣灵来充满我自己。
And so I try to have this practice that before my feet touch the floor and begin my day in my own strength, that I pray that I would be surrendered to God's Spirit in my life.
所以我有这个每天有这个习惯，在我起床这个脚踏到地面之前，我要向神祷告，求神让圣灵来充满我，来掌管我那一天。
So let's ask a question about self-reflection.
所以我要跟大家问一个让大家自己思考的一个问题。
When you wake up in the morning, who do you feel like is most usually in control of your life?
我问大家的问题是，你早上醒来的第一件事情，你问自己是你的这一天是谁在掌管？
Do you already have a discipline of surrendering your life to the Holy Spirit every morning before life takes off and gets busy?
你有没有这个操练养成了这个习惯，就是每天起来的时候就会跟神说，我的一天完完全全的交给你。
It's a good discipline to develop.
这是一个非常好的习惯，我们要应该养成。
The second desire that, that Paul talks about that God has for us is that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith.
第二个，保罗的希望中间的第二个就是通过我们的信心，基督住在我们的心里。
This goes beyond just our initial salvation and points to an ongoing life of having Christ be at the center of both our life and purpose.
这个是超出了我们得救的时候，圣灵住在我们中间。他讲的是我们在每天，我们不断的每一天里头，让神来住在我们的心里头，来掌管我们的生活。
And here we get some interesting wording about how Christ comes to live in our hearts.
这我们可以这个有一些有意思的词来看神怎么样来住在我们心里。
But he doesn't use this word that just means about talking about someone who's just moving in for the first time.
这个住它这个原文里头并不仅仅是像我们搬家搬到一个房间里去。
But he conveys this idea about someone who is setting up their whole existence inside of a dwelling, inside of our heart.
他用的这个词是不是说搬家搬进去，而是真正的住在里面过日子，一直在里面，是这个意思。
For us, this all kind of sounds like familiar language.
对我们来说，这个好像听起来也没有什么太大的差别。
But think about it from a Jewish or from an older Gentile mindset.
但是我们要看对当时的犹太人，或者是在当时的外邦人，对他们来说，对这个住，这个观点是怎么样看的？
What was their idea of where God normally lived?
他们怎么认为？他们认为神到底是住在哪里的呢？
For the Jew, God lived in the Holy of Holies.
对犹太人来说，神住在至圣所。
In the middle of the temple, a physical place that was in the middle of Jerusalem.
他住在圣殿的中间，这个圣殿是在耶路撒冷的中间，是一个实在的一个存在，至圣所。
He was surrounded by sacrifice and restricted by the law.
这个圣殿的四周都是有很多的献祭，然后也不能随便进去，因为有律法的规定。
For the Gentile of those days, God lived in one of two different places.
对外邦人来说，当时的外邦人，对他们来说，神住在这个两个地方，两个中间的一个。
For the Greeks, the gods kind of lived in the heavenly, somewhere up there.
对希腊人来说，这个神在天上啊，这个在高处。
And they were appeased by people who were supposed to do good things on their behalf.
所以他们就喜欢那个。这个住在像高楼啊，就是这个为他们做事情，他们就会他想取悦于这些这样的。
And sometimes the gods came down to visit them in really big buildings like the Acropolis.
有时候这个神会从天上下来，好像是住在那个大的那个大厦里头。
But for others, God was an idea that was completely decentralized into all of nature.
而另外一个这个外邦人的一个观念，这个神是完完全全的分散在这个自然的这些元素之间。
And he was depersonalized from any type of human relationship.
这些东西是没有任何的人性，跟人没有任何的关系。
It was into these types of cultures that Paul says, "No, Christ has now moved into your heart."
当时保罗是在这样的文化环境下，在这个以弗所书里头说，神住到我们心中。
Now Christ has crossed boundaries between the holy and the unholy.
现在保罗说神已经跨越了这个圣洁和不圣洁的这个边界。
And he's moved from a place that was impersonal to the most intimate and personal place in a person's life.
他原来是在一个好像是跟人没什么关系的一个地方，他现在是进入到一个和神有亲密关系的地方，他住在我们心中。
Because for those of us that believe, Christ dwells in our hearts.
对于我们那些相信他的人，我们相信耶稣，基督住在我们心里。
Where we have constant access.
我们随时随时的可以跟他在一起。
Where we have full acceptance.
我们完完全全的被他接受。
Where we have absolute forgiveness.
我们完完全全的被他饶恕。
And a relationship that's based in grace, not in the law.
我们和他有这种关系，这个关系是因着神的恩典，而不是根据律法。
Frankly, for the Jew and for the Gentile, this was a mind-blowing transition from everything they had ever known.
实际上这个不管是对犹太人来说还是对外邦人来说，对当时对他们来说，这个是一个不可思议的这样一个想法。
And there's a purpose in this indwelling.
这个神住在我们内心，他有一个目的。
And we come to the third desire that God has for us.
这个目的就是神给我们第三个期望。
He says that you would be rooted and grounded in love.
这个第三个期望就是我们在爱里面有根有基。
Though facts are important, the knowledge of facts is not central to Paul's argument here.
这些事实是很重要的，但是有关这些事实的一些知识，其实并不是保罗这个论点的主要内容。
It isn't that we need to focus on. It isn't that we need to stop focusing on more biblical details, but that there's something beyond that as well.
它并不是说我们不应该注意圣经里头一些具体的这知识的一些细节。这个原因是有一些东西比这个更重要。
More importantly, we need to be better acquainted with Jesus so that our lives can look more like him.
更重要的是我们要更多的了解主耶稣，让我们的生命能够更像他。
And that we can love others in the same way that he loved.
我们能够爱其他人就像他爱我们一样。
Paul uses two metaphors to help us to understand this.
保罗用两个比喻来帮助我们理解这一点。
He says that I want you to be rooted and I also want you to be grounded.
他讲到了有根有基，就是一个是基础，一个是树的根。
Being rooted is kind of an agricultural term.
根实际上是一个农业的一个概念。
It means to dig deep and have a firm grasp.
他说要根要挖下去，挖得很深，所以的根能够扎得很深。
To have a steadiness from a depth of understanding and experience.
所以这个能够有更深的这个理解和经历。
To be grounded is more of an architectural metaphor.
这个基础更多的是一个建筑的这样的一个比喻这个比方。
And it talks about laying a deep foundation to withstand everything that can come on top.
这里面讲到的就是有一个更深的一个基础，所以能够支持上面那个可以房子可以造得更高。
So it's like giving us these two pictures.
所以保罗实际上是给我们这两幅图画。
And oftentimes we only see what's on the top.
我们常常看到的就是上面的能够看得见的。
We pass by a really big oak tree, but we don't see everything that is down below in the earth.
我们走过一棵很大的这个橡树，我们能看到那棵大树，我们是看不到下面的根扎得很深
And if you go to Malaysia, you can see this incredible building, but never stop to notice everything that is under the ground.
这个到马来西亚，这个很出名的一个高楼，我们看到的高楼很高，但是我们会常常没有想到，其实它下面那个基础也打得很深。
And Paul is reminding us that both of these metaphors are very important for our Christian life.
保罗在这里提醒我们，这两个比喻其实对我们基督徒的生命 基督的生活是非常非常的重要。
Trees with shallow roots get blown over by the wind.
如果树的根很浅的话呢，这个风，树会被风吹倒。
But trees with deep roots can withstand many years of drought because they found a different place to find the water.
而一棵树如果它的根非常深的话，扎得很深的话，那这个旱灾它能够抵抗得住，因为它能够在很深的地方能够找到水来吸取水分。
And buildings can grow, they can build them very high above the level of ground.
这个大楼能够高出地面很多很多。
But if they haven't paid attention to building it on the right foundation, the building's not going to last.
但是如果下面没有很好的基础的话，那这个高楼不会站得很久。
And this speaks to our relationship and our experience with God.
这个里面在讲的是我们和神之间的关系。
The fourth desire that Paul explains here is that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints.
这个第四点就是保罗的对我们的希望，就是我们能够有能力和所有的圣徒一起能够理解。
And don't miss the part that Paul is talking about all of the saints who are coming together to serve as one body of Christ.
千万不要忽略到后面那部分，他说是和所有的圣徒一起，我们在一起来敬拜。我们在一起成为耶稣的身体，基督的身体。
His desire is for us to come together and to meet face to face and interact with one another because our faith is relational.
保罗他的期望就是我们能够在一起，我们面对面，我们来交流，我们来交互，因为我们的信仰是一个关系的信仰 ，relational。
And it's in this coming together that we can understand the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of who God is.
通过我们在一起，我们能够一起来理解神到底是谁，神的长阔高深。
How deep is God's love?
神的爱有多深？
I don't know.
我真不知道。
But every time I find out more, every time I have trouble,Every time I understand his blessing, I find that God's love is deeper still.
有时候我以为我发现了更多，或者有时候我在困难的时候，或者有时候我觉得受到了神很大的祝福的时候，我同时又发现神的爱其实还是比这个还要深，是更深的。
The fifth thing that Paul is teaching us about what God wants us to know, his desires for us, is that we can know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge.
第五点，保罗希望我们要知道我们，爱基督远远超过了我们所知道的这些，这个知识。
For me, this is a really important part of this passage.
对我来说，这是这段经文里头非常非常重要的一个点。
It hits kind of close to home for me.
这个特别是我自己有亲身的体会。
I don't know about you, but I would consider myself a head first, heart follows kind of person.
我不知道你们，但是对我自己来说，我一直认为我自己是先要想，然后心里才会去跟随。
I've spent a lot of my Christian life seeking for more understanding.
我这个基督徒的生命中间的很多年，我一直在寻找的是那个更多的理解。
If I was to guess about this congregation, my guess is that many of you are very similar.
如果我要猜测的话，我们今天在座的这个教会，很多人可能跟我是同样的一个状况。
After all, you followed a mostly academic pathway that moved you into this place and into this room.
毕竟是我们中间，你们中间的大部分人都是走了一个学术的道路啊，研究要知道知识，然后最后来到了这个教会。
When I think about the Apostle Paul, I think Paul was probably really similar to that as well.
我想到保罗，其实保罗很可能完完全全也是这个样子的。
He too was highly educated.
因为保罗是学问很大。
And his zeal was a product of his knowledge.
他的热心是出于他非常非常好的知识。
all of the things before he came to know Christ was based on what he knew to be right or wrong.
在他认识主耶稣之前，所有的东西都来自于他的知识，他的那些知识告诉他什么是对的，什么是不对的。
But Paul's experience on the road to Damascus was life-changing.
但是保罗在去大马士革路上的经历，完完全全改变了他的生命。
And I think it affected his heart so deeply that it took his mind years to catch up.
我想因为这个经历，他改变了他的心，非常非常的这个突然，所以他的头脑是又过了好几年他才想明白。
So here's a question of application. How can we move beyond just the knowledge of who Christ is to be able to experience him in our lives? This is a difficult process in an academic community.
所以我在这里问一个问题，我们怎么样从知道耶稣是谁这个知识再往前走一步，让我们能够更好的经历它，在我们的生命中间经历它。其实这是一个非常非常困难的一个过程，特别是对我们这个这个学术背景的这样一个社区来说。
So here's the question I've been asking myself this week.
这是我这个星期一直在问我自己的一个问题。
Do I love to know, or do I know to love?
那我们到底是我们喜爱想知道这些知识是这样呢，还是因为我们知道所以我们要去爱？ Love to know versus know to love.
I don't just love my wife because I know all about her.
我爱我的妻子并不是我知道她所有的事情。
I love my wife because of how I've experienced her.
我爱我的妻子是因为我跟她一起经历她。
I like to watch how she loves and how she responds.
我想要看她怎么样爱，她怎么样来回应。
How she treats other people and to listen about her insights about life.
看她怎么样来对待其他人，看她怎么样来看待生活。
It's not just about what she has accomplished or what she's done.
这完全不仅仅是她做了什么，她完成了什么。
I like to spend time with her because of who she is.
我愿意跟她在一起，是因为她是她。
And this should be even more true with God.
我们和神的关系更是应该如此。
So here's the last thing that Paul wants us to know is a desire that God has for us.
下面是最后一个保罗对我们的期望，希望我们要有的。
That we would be filled with all the fullness of Christ.
我们会有完完全全的充满神的丰满。
I think Paul is trying to say something in summary of this passage.
我想保罗是要在这里做一个结论。
We start our journey with Jesus based on a little bit of knowledge of what he has done for us.
我们那个经历是一开始是我们知道一些耶稣为我们做了什么。
His coming and his living and his dying.And is resurrecting for our sin.
他来到这个世界，活在这个世界，为了我们死在十字架上，然后从死里复活。
But then we experience the love of Jesus that is not only overwhelming in our relationship with him, but it also gives our life purpose.
然后更重要的是，我们经历他，让我们能够，让我们知道我们生命的意义。
And in this frame of mind is how I think Paul begins to conclude this, not only this chapter, but also this section of theology about knowing God.
而这个思想，他这个思路，因为这个思路，所以保罗下面用这种方法来结束这一段的这个文字。
And he says,Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever.
这段文字就是一个祝福，就是二十节、二十一节说，神能照的运行在我们心里的大力，充充足足的成就一切， 超过我们所求所想的，但愿他在教会中，并在基督耶稣里得着荣耀，直到世世代代，永永远远。阿们。
Paul wants to bring us to a place of hope in our circumstances based on two unchangeable traits of God.
保罗想把我们带到一个地方，让我们有这个希望。这个希望是不是因为我们自己的情况，而是根据神所不变的品格。
One is that God desires to do good.
这个不变的品格，一个神的不变的品格，一个就是神他愿，神的愿望是行善。
But God is also able to do good.
另外一方面是神他是有这个能力，他能够行善。
Think about it.
大家来想想这一点。
God worked out a way to bring all the nations back into his plan of salvation.
神做了那么多事情，把所有的万民万国又带回到他的救赎计划之中。
By removing the stigma between both the Jews and the Gentiles, and allowing everyone to have equal access to him.
他排除了在犹太人和外邦人之间的隔阂，让所有的人能够都有这个机会，能够来到神的面前来接受神。
And no one ever saw it coming.
但是没有人能够看到这一点。
And what was the outcome?
最后的结果是什么呢？
Right here, the church.
最后的结果就在这里，就是教会。
The gathering of God's people from all kinds of backgrounds brought together to worship God in one place.
这个就是结果。不同的人，不同的背景，不同的文化，我们在一起，在这里来敬拜神。
That we may be equipped for the ministry to encourage one another during all of our difficulties.
然后我们在这个过程中间得到装备。然后在困难的时候，我们能够来做神的事工。
And it's this church that will continue until Christ returns.
就这个教会，它会一直来忍受，直到主耶稣再来的时候。
If God can do that in light of all of history, He can certainly help us work out the problems that we're experiencing today.
这个神他能够在这个历史的长河里头来实现他的计划，他能够做到这些，他也一定能够帮助我们来解决我们生活中间的一些具体的问题。
他
一定会找到这个一些问题的答案，而这个答案我们原来曾经完全没有想到过。
If you were to look at your relationship with God today like a cup, would it be half full or would it be half empty?
如果是我们和神的关系就像一杯水，我要问问大家，你和神的关系的这杯水是一半满还是一半空？
Because our perspective of whether or not that what we have known about God is enough, maybe we need to experience God's love.A little bit more.
因为我们那个视角，我们今天讲了，我们知道神的那个知识其实是不够的。我们更重要的是，我们要经历神。
Could it be over the course of this summer we need to maybe chase a little less knowledge and have a little bit more experience of God's love and forgiveness?
也许这个假期，我们要做的就是少追求一点我们。想要知道的有关神的知识，而花更多的精力来寻求和神之间的经历，来经历他的饶恕，经历他给我们的恩典。
That we may experience the fullness of God.
所以我们能够经历神的丰丰满满，丰丰富富。
Let's pray.
我们来祷告。
Father,Pray that our knowledge of you will not get in the way of all the ways that we can experience you. That, Lord, knowing that you have the fullness of both knowledge and wisdom, but also of emotion and love, Father, that we would get to know you in a personal, more personal way than ever before as we seek you this summer. And we put these things before you to bring honor and glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.